It is December 25th, 2020. Hello, witches. Welcome to the Witch Daily Show's annual variety holiday episode. This is for anyone who just needs a little extra companionship, kinship, or just a break from the holiday. So we have gathered a few talented witches to share with us some of their amazing skills.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Friday, December 24th. The waning gibbous moon moves over from the warmth of Leo to the well-planned layout of Virgo. Today we experience the last exact Saturn and Uranus square. Saturn and Uranus will remain square well into next year, with one more almost exact square in October, before they finally start to drift apart in early 2023. This square has been in the backdrop of all of 2021, encouraging us to rebel against the systems that are not supporting us as individuals. There has been civil unrest, great resignations, and labor organizing in a way that we haven't seen in this country in quite some time. As we work through this energy, it's important to recognize the systems that are not working in our own lives. We may have built our whole lives on an idea that doesn't serve us anymore, or have gotten into a habit that is restricting our ability to grow. This square has been showing us in real time the effects of these things, and we've been chafing at the systems that we've either put in place ourselves or have been thrust upon us by society. It's important to acknowledge those parts of us that no longer serve us, that no longer work the way they were intended, and begin the process of discarding them. It can feel painful, especially if these habits or systems are deeply rooted, but we must remember that they are inhibiting our development into the gorgeous being we were always meant to become. Take notice of those things that are no longer serving you, and work to pull them out of your lives. You will feel lighter and find yourself growing in ways that you did not think possible. Your daily moon mantra is, evolving involves eliminating. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Before we move on to our next segment, I wanted to share one of the traditions from one of our listeners. This comes to us from Mary Kate. Making gingerbread houses with my nephews. I turned it into a tradition because I never got to do it as a kid. But my favorite tradition as a kid was going to my great aunt's house Christmas Eve and seeing Santa. As a kid, I thought the whole family, about 50 or so people, gathered there for dinner and dessert and Santa. As an adult, I discovered it was 50 people gathering for eggnog, dessert, and Santa, and whichever man was the newcomer had to dress up as him for initiation. All right, so up next, we have a wonderful holiday story from listener Spence.
The Elves and the Shoemaker. From the Brothers Grimm Fairy Tales. There once was a shoemaker who worked very hard and was very honest, but he still could not earn enough to live upon. And at last, all he had in the world was gone, save just leather enough to make one pair of shoes. Then he cut his leather out, all ready to make up for the next day, meaning to rise early in the morning to his work. His conscience was clear, and his heart light amidst all his troubles. So he went peaceably to bed, left all his cares to heaven, and soon fell asleep. In the morning, after he had said his prayers, he sat himself down to his work, when, to his great wonder, there stood the shoes already made upon the table. The good man knew not what to say or think at such an odd thing happening. He looked at the workmanship. There was not one false stitch in the whole job. all was so neat and true that it was quite a masterpiece. The same day, a customer came in, and the shoes suited him so well that he willingly paid a price higher than usual for them. And the poor shoemaker, with the money, bought leather enough to make 2 pairs more. In the evening, he cut out the work and went to bed early that he might get up and begin betimes the next day. But he was saved all the trouble, for when he got up in the morning, the work was already to his hand. Soon in came buyers who paid him handsomely for his goods, so that he bought leather enough for 4 pair more. He cut out the work again overnight and found it done in the morning as before, and so it went on for some time. What was got ready in the evening was always done by daybreak. And the good man soon became thriving and well off again. One evening, about Christmas time, as he and his wife were sitting over the fire chatting together, he said to her, "I should like to sit up and watch tonight, that we may see who it is that comes and does my work for me." The wife liked the thought, so they left a light burning and hid themselves in a corner of the room behind a curtain that was hung up there, and watched what would happen. As soon as it was midnight, there came in 2 little naked dwarfs, and they sat themselves upon the shoemaker's bench, took up all the work that was cut out, and began to ply their little fingers, stitching and wrapping and tapping away at such a rate that the shoemaker was all wonder and could not take his eyes off them. And on they went, till the job was quite done, and the shoes stood ready for use upon the table. This was long before daybreak. Then they bustled away quick as lightning. The next day, the wife said to the shoemaker, "These little lights have made us rich, and we ought to be thankful to them, and do them a good turn if we can. I am quite sorry to see them run about as they do, and indeed it is not very decent for them to have nothing upon their backs to keep off the cold. I'll tell you what, I will make each of them a shirt and a coat and waistcoat and a pair of pantaloons into the bargain, and do you make them each a little pair of shoes." The thought pleased the good cobbler very much, and one evening, when all the things were ready, they laid them on the table, instead of the work that they used to cut out, and then went and hid themselves to watch what the little elves did. About midnight, in they came, dancing and skipping, hopped around the room, and then went to sit down to their work as usual. But when they saw the clothes lying for them, they laughed and chuckled and seemed mightily delighted. Then they dressed themselves in the twinkling of an eye and danced and capered and sprang about as merry as could be. Till at last they danced out at the door and away over the green. The good couple saw them no more. But everything went well with them from that time forward, as long as they lived.
We have another tradition from listener Lana. Lana says, "Our annual Christmas game. We all buy a gift for about $20. We play with 2 dice. The first who gets 2 of the same number chooses which gift they can take from the pile that has formed in the middle of the table. The game lasts for about 10 to 15 minutes. We use a stopwatch, otherwise the game would last all night, if not longer. When the time is up, then the ones who have a gift give 1 to each who does not have any. Then we start opening the gifts from youngest to oldest. It's a tradition we started 10 years ago, and everyone in the family is a part of it." So up next, we have a song from Jessica Marie Baumgartner.
I think we're recording. That's a good thing. Merry everything, you guys. I had to do this song. So you can laugh or you can sing along.
So we have a tradition from listener Laura. Laura says, I give each of my nieces, nephews, and daughter ornaments that reflected something about what they were into at the time. Their names and the year are on them. When they grow up and move into their own homes, they had a good start for decorating their own trees. Now I give them boxes of shiny brights or other decorations to fill in their trees, but it's the dated ones they treasure. All right, up next, we have some fun facts about Santa Claus with Amanda Wilson.
Hello, it's Amanda Wilson. I'm so excited about this segment, you guys. I'm here to talk about Santa Claus. You know, Santa for witches, it's a little different from the Christmas Santa in that he's more of a symbol of hope, of giving, of generosity, of gratitude. He is the winter solstice spirit who wants to remind us that we deserve some rewards. We deserve to feel special. We deserve gifts once in a while. Treats, if you will. And Santa also reminds us that there, I mean, winter may be hard, but there's always something to look forward to. He reminds us of the power that we hold within ourselves. Santa Claus and getting gifts was the first magic that my son did. When he was 3 years old, I helped him write a letter to Santa. And I told him, you know, think really hard about what you want. And he just closed his little eyes and squeezed them tight. And he just kept saying, magic car, magic car. He meant one of those RC racing cars, like remote control cars. And then we mailed the letter off. And sure enough, Santa brought him the car. So, you know, it teaches kids that they can manifest their wishes. You know, and calling in the help of a higher power is okay. And it's fun and fulfilling. I started looking into Santa Claus because the other day my son came home and told me that a little girl in his class told him that there was no such thing as Santa. And she said, magic isn't real. This is a kindergartner. And my goodness, like, who are her parents? Seriously? If you're going to tell your, you know, if you're going to squash all hope of magic and enchantment in your kid, at least tell them not to tell other kids. But anyways, I digress. So I asked him, you know, how do you feel about that? And he goes, I feel sad. So I'm like, oh, crap. Now what do I gotta do? Do I convince him that Santa is real? Do I tell him, well, he's kind of real, but it's, you know, what do I do? Then he continues, he goes, I feel sad because believing in, you know, magic is real and makes our lives so much fun. She must have a boring life. I couldn't help but start laughing and wanted to cry at the same time. I mean, he's 6 years old and he's thinking, you know, this poor girl, to not have something to believe in, something to look forward to, that is sad. That is really sad. And so I feel really blessed. And I'm so glad that not only I, but many, many witch families out there keep Santa as part of their practices. Many families keep Santa as part of their traditions. Many witch families have Santa as well. I put a poll on Facebook the other day, on the Witch Daily Show Facebook group, and I got some really great responses. I mean, everybody that chose to vote did select that they have Santa as part of their holiday traditions. And there was this one person that commented on it, and oh my gosh, you guys, I have to read it to you. She said, it's Lilith Cotton. She said, Santa is more pagan than it is Christian. I always had Santa. I still believe in Santa. Santa is the one true symbol of unconditional giving. Giving without recognition, just for the sake of making another person feel good. As we get older, if we're lucky, we get to be Santa on occasion. I freaking love you, Lilith Cotton. So dead on. I agree 100%. That's how I see it. I see Santa as a higher power that makes it possible for us to have a good, quote-unquote, good, fulfilling, a little materialistic, a little bit selfish winter holiday. I think of it as, you know, say you want to get your kids some great present, but it costs too much. It's too expensive. Well, you know what? Call on freaking Santa Claus. And I bet, you know, you will, you know, the guy in front of you buying, you know, will buy your coffee. You're going to do your laundry and you're going to find an extra $20. You're going to see that there was a glitch in your phone bill and they're crediting your account $100. And even if you try calling, say, oh, no, this isn't right. They say, well, we already took it off. You keep the $100. That's what's going to happen, because that's what happens to me every year. I don't make that much money. And, you know, this year I was really freaking out because I got two kids now. You know, I mean, yeah, my younger son is only 3 months old, so it's not like he's going to notice, but I know, you know? So, but I mean, things just work out. They work out because I believe Santa is looking out for me, and he's looking out for you too. All you have to do is believe.
All right, so we have a tradition from listener Nicole. Nicole says, every year, everyone in my house gets new pajamas with hot cocoa. Everyone gets ready for bed, and we sit in the living room and listen to me read a book. We have read all kinds of holiday-themed books, and it is just loads of fun. All right, so up next, we have a spell with Zahara.
Hey everyone, Zahara Nakash here. We have come to the time of year where family is front and center, the holiday season. It's everywhere. The images of togetherness, sharing a meal, unwrapping gifts, driving to grandma's for the seasonal joys of family and all the love it's meant to offer. Such importance on family is placed during the holidays more than any other time of the year. Except for those of us who have little or no family ties. Perhaps we are estranged from our families, Our bonds have been snapped due to a myriad of different issues. Or maybe we just never fit in with our families and choose not to celebrate with them to save us from an inevitable argument. Maybe our loved ones hurt us way too many times and we finally said enough is enough. And what about those of us who are adopted? Sometimes not knowing who your real biological family is can make you feel isolated and alone for the holidays. Or perhaps your parents or family are no longer living. All of these situations can leave you feeling alone and isolated, especially during the holidays. However, when we think of the term family, we often only think of those who are immediate or living. We forget that we come from a long line of relatives, of people who met, came together, celebrated the holidays, and ultimately created you. I have created a small ritual that you can do that will help you to honor yourself and your loved ones in a way that will make you feel both the warmth of the holidays and hopefully a sense of connection to your ancestors. This ritual calls in those ancestors, your ancestors, and brings them together to help celebrate you. Another nice thing is that this ritual can be done alone or with your chosen family, your friends, your neighbors, or even your pets. Whoever you invite into your inner circle can be a part of this ritual. You will need the following. Make incense using the following: cinnamon chips, frankincense, myrrh, and sandalwood. This will be burned on charcoal and used to cleanse yourself and the space during the ritual. Now, for the ritual, you will need the following: a round metal tray, a large glass white 7-day candle, a black Sharpie, 4 white votive candles or tea lights, and the following herbs: rosemary, patchouli, and bay leaf. Once you light your incense on the charcoal, you can set up for the ritual. Place the metal tray on your altar or table space. Arrange the votives or the tea lights so that they are on the outer edge of the tray, crossing one another. In the middle of the tray, you're going to sprinkle the rosemary, patchouli, and bay leaf. And then on the large glass 7-day candle, write your name on the black Sharpie down the middle. If you're doing this in a group, you can write everyone's name. Now you're going to light the first votive and you're going to say, "I light this light in honor of all the mothers who have walked beside me." You're going to move on to the next one. And you're going to say, "I light this light in honor of all the grandmothers who have walked beside me." Going to the next candle, light, and then say, "I light this light in honor of all the fathers who have walked beside me." And lastly, to the last votive candle, "I light this light in honor of all the grandfathers who have walked beside me." Now that you have called in your ancestors, take a moment to acknowledge them. You may be estranged from your living relatives, but your ancestors are always by your side. And I'm willing to bet somewhere in your lineage, there was someone who you probably would have had a lot in common with. When you're ready, take that 7-day glass jar candle with your name on it and hold it for a moment. Then when you are ready, I want you to light that candle and you're gonna state, "I," and then state your name, "call forth all those who have come before me to be here with me on this day and this hour, to stand by me, to guide me, to celebrate with me and share in all the love that I have chosen to receive and give. As my will, so shall it be." Once you light that candle, you can place it back on the tray. And that's it. You can let the candles burn out while you do something you enjoy. Make yourself a nice dinner and share it with your ancestors, or share it with your friends, your chosen family, or take a nice hot bath, or just cuddle on the couch with your dog and watch Netflix. Just know that you are now surrounded by 1,000 hearts and hands who have come together to reach out and celebrate the holidays with you. Happy holidays.
So we have a tradition from listener Amber. Amber writes, "Baking, lots of baking. My favorite thing to bake is spicy molasses cookies. Cheesy holiday movies are always good too. We don't really have any traditions anymore now that we've moved away. We definitely need to find some, like Olaf. Oh, I do take a special photo for my son every year. He's so skeptical and wants to know all the answers, and I just want him to experience a little magic. So I take a photo of our Christmas tree right after I'm done setting it up, and I photo edit Santa into it. One year we were spoiled with a space needle view, so I took one with Santa and his sleigh flying over the space needle. All right, witches, so we are wrapping up this episode, and I want to say happy holidays to everyone out there. We are going to finish this off with another song from Jessica Marie Baumgartner, and wait till the end to find out more about the contributors to this episode.
Think of your fellow man, lend him a helping hand. Put a little love in your heart. You see it's getting late, oh please don't hesitate. Put a little love in your heart, and the world will be a better place. And the world will be a better place for you.
Zahara Nakash. I am a 28-year practicing occultist and ceremonial magician based in Richmond, Virginia. I am the owner of Snake and Bone and can be found at my website, snakeandbone.com.
Amanda Wilson is the mother of two, a witch, a writer, and a virtual assistant. She is driven by her mission to help people gain the skills, sovereignty, and magic they need to live their best life.
Hi, this is author and musician for fun, Jessica Marie Baumgartner, and I want to wish everybody a Merry Everything.
I didn't get a bio for Spence because Spence was cool enough to fill in for us last second, so I will do one for Spence. Spence is a knitter or crocheter, and a wonderful witch. And you can find Spence at Fibromancers for Hire on Facebook. Happy holidays, witches.